How many ready for the word this morning? I've got a message that I want to preach to you today that I believe that God is going to speak to some people who are carrying something heavy. Something that maybe you have walked in here feeling maybe something confused, maybe needing direction. You know, and seasons like we're in, literal seasons, the holiday season, it can be a hard time. It's a time where actually there are more family fights than any other time in the year. I'm talking fist fights, full-on brawls. I don't know about you, but I like the one thing I love to do is I go look at all the mugshots and see why people got arrested, like fighting family. Anybody do that? Oh, that's kind of a weird thing that I do. So if you're in the church today, I'm just saying. I've seen a few of you. Anyway, I really have. But God bless you. We're glad you're here today. You're in the right place. I don't know why I told you that, but anyway. We all got those things that we do. But a time like this can be a time where people are grieving and hurting. And so I want to say today, if you're hurting, if you're confused, if you're you feel like you're standing at a crossroads, then the message today, I believe, is going to really help you, because God gave us one of the greatest promises just close to 3,000 years ago. He gave us the greatest promise He could have ever given us. God said that He would send a counselor, but not just any kind of counselor. He said He was going to send a wonderful counselor. Somebody say wonderful counselor. And so today, whatever weight that you walked in here with, whatever confusion you may have, whatever fear that you are fighting, I believe that God wants to meet you here today. And I'm inviting you to bring whatever weight that is and give it to the wonderful counselor today. Because He says, cast your cares on Me, for I care for you. And so we're going to do that today. If you have your Bible, turn me to Isaiah chapter 9. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9. I got to tell you, how many enjoyed Pastor Jared Neiman last week? If you were here, phenomenal. He's a great friend, great pastor. He could not stop talking about the moment when y'all all stood for the reading of the word. He was like, your church is awesome. And I'm like, so I just want to say, good job, church. He was so proud of you. And he's like, I got to bring that back to my church. And like, he was shocked. Like, he couldn't believe it that there was a church that would feel the honor to stand in the reading of the word of God. Like that was abnormal. This is normal for us, but it's not normal everywhere you go. And so he was blown away. I normally prepare pastors when they come. I'm like, hey, by the way, when you say the scripture, they're going to whoop at you and they're going to stand, you know. And I just didn't say nothing. I just forgot. So anyway, surprise. But Isaiah chapter 9, you see, 700 years before the Bethlehem moment, before the manger, before the virgin birth, Isaiah prophesied something that affects us all. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Mind you, this is 700 years before Jesus were to ever come into the earth. This was prophesied that it would happen. And I think it's pretty amazing. And so what I want to do today is I want to preach to you from the title, When You Need More Than Just Advice. We all need direction in our life, but there are times when you need more than just advice. And that's what I want to preach to you today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for all that You're doing. God, we thank You for Your presence that is here today. We ask, Lord, that You would speak to us, touch us, change us. Lord, we thank You that Your word is convicting for change. Yes, it comforts us, but God, it changes us in the process. And so, Lord, we ask that the words that are coming from your scripture today, Lord, that it would change us, that it would comfort us, that it would lead us into the purpose that you have for our lives. Help us, Lord, whatever we're carrying, whatever weight we have walked in here with that's on our shoulders, whatever burden that we have, God, I pray, Lord, that you would be the lifter today of that as we pass it and we give it to you, knowing that you are in control, that you are the one who holds us. We're not the one who holds you up. So, God, we trust you today. We love you. We praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said a big amen. Amen. Give someone a hug before you take a seat. Big old squeeze. You may be the only hug they got all week. Why don't you just look at your neighbor real quick and say, I'm so glad you're sitting next to me. Don't lie to them. Tell them like you mean it. I'm like, I'm just saying it because you said it. I'm really not glad. They're my cousin and they ain't visiting town, but have you ever been in a place where you didn't know what to do? Some of y'all are like, can I lift every finger, a toe, hand, every limb I got? You ever been in a place where you just didn't know what to do? Like you were just like, God, I need your help. Or you're looking for direction. You're at a crossroads. You're trying to make a decision. And have you ever noticed that the moment you are trying to make a decision, you don't even have to ask, and everybody all of a sudden becomes a counselor. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like you mentioned just briefly the problem that you are facing, and all of a sudden your friend turns into a certified life coach. The same friend who still lives at home and he's 40 years old, the same friend who still owes you $200, all of a sudden, they're going to fix your whole life. Some of y'all like it. They're sitting right next to me right now. Like, you don't even have to say much, but like, you be on Facebook, like, pray for me. And they're like, all of a sudden, everybody's got all these things they want to tell you. And I'm like, Lord bless us all. Got stuff that they want to say. Everybody's become, you know, a certified counselor and can tell you how to fix their whole life. They'll tell you how your marriage is falling apart and they're not even married. They'll tell you how to raise your kids and they ain't even got kids. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than your amen. And so what happens is you start looking elsewhere. You're trying to find direction, which means you're actually not doing any kind of research. You're just watching TikToks at 2 a.m. because you can't sleep. And then all of a sudden, one day, you're sitting on YouTube just scrolling through and some influencer tells you, follow your heart. Do whatever makes you feel good. Whatever makes you happy. Trust your gut. If it feels right, then it can't be wrong. And we wonder why we're so confused. We wonder why our life feels like it's in complete destruction at times. Can I be real for a moment? I'm always real. You know how I am. I am so sick and tired of the self-help slogans. We're about to get it all out today. Here we go. I am so sick and tired of all these TikTok theology preachers. I'm getting there now. I am so sick and tired and done with all these shallow answers from a shallow world. Like, I need, can you give me something real? Can you give me something that I can actually build my life on? We don't need any more broken advice from a broken world. We need truth from the Word of God and a Jesus who loves us. That's what we need. You see, Isaiah preached into a world that's a lot like ours. People who believed in God, but they did not serve him like he was Lord. The people that, they were like those casual Christians in our world today. Like, you know, the ones who want all the promises of God, but they don't want any of the responsibility that comes with it. He was preaching into a world, into a context of a society that they had religion without relationship. It was a society that was full of anxiety. They were in a complete political divide. There was so much confusion and uncertain future. They had livelihood that was completely unaffordable. Sound familiar? Different century, same story. So don't tell me the Bible's not relevant. The Bible's been speaking to this for thousands of years. And right at that moment, while all this is happening, God gives them a promise and sends them something that they did not expect. But he sent them exactly what they needed. And so I want to give you today three things that our wonderful counselor does. If you're taking notes, I want you to write these down. If you're not taking notes, I want you to write these down. Number one is the wonderful counselor guides your steps. He guides your steps. I want to give you some understanding today because Isaiah said that his name would be called Wonderful Counselor. Now, to us, when you hear that statement, Wonderful Counselor, it sounds real nice. It sounds so beautiful and it's real sweet. But the original meaning in Isaiah chapter 9, that phrase Wonderful Counselor comes from the two Hebrew words, Pele Yoetz. Somebody say that. Say Pele Yoetz. Now, I'm not some Hebrew scholar, nor can I speak Hebrew, but I know what this means. And what this means is something that our English language and dictionary can't put together in just two words. But when you understand the original wording and the original language, that there were words that meant a whole lot more than what our English language can translate. I want to break this down today because I believe it's going to really give you a better understanding of why Isaiah was calling him Wonderful Counselor, Pele Yoetz. You see, that word wonderful, that is that word Pele. Now, Pele does not mean nice or pleasant or impressive. No, it has a such deeper and stronger meaning than that. You see, Pele means miraculous, extraordinary, beyond human explanation. The word would describe as meaning something that was supernatural, something that only God can do. So it's not just this wonderful word. No. It has a such deeper meaning than our English translation can give us. You see, in the Old Testament, the word Pele is used almost always to describe the acts of God himself, not out of human ability. It was only given by specific acts that God would do. We see it in the book of Exodus, chapter 15, where it says that, "Who is like you, Lord, doing wonders?" That word is Pele, doing wonders, doing supernatural, miraculous things. Things that only a God can do that are beyond human ability. This is where you read in Psalm 77 that says, "You are the God who performs miracles." We just sang a song today, miracle after miracle. It's Pele after Pele. The things that are beyond our comprehension, supernatural, extraordinary. So when we get to Isaiah, he is saying this counselor doesn't think like humans think. His wisdom is divine. It's heaven born. It's a God level insight. That word wonderful is shallow in the English language. It means so much more in its original context. Now, the second word, counselor, is that word yoetz. Now, that word is very specific because that word means advisor. It means a strategist. It means one who gives purposeful direction, one who determines the right way, the right course on the way forward. There is such a bigger description than just the simple word counselor. This isn't just some casual advice, is what Isaiah is saying. This isn't just a good thought that you got from some counselor that you see every Tuesday evening. No, this is an authoritative guidance. The kind that kings would rely on before they ever made a decision to do anything. They would call in specific counselors. And this is what Isaiah is trying to give us an explanation on who is to come. A yoetz. It didn't just give opinions. No, no, it shaped outcomes. It was a completely different trajectory. So when spoken together, wonderful counselor, Pele, yoetz, it literally is basically saying that there is a supernatural strategist whose wisdom comes directly from God, a miracle-working God who knows the way forward when humans don't. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to follow that guy. That's the word that I want to follow. I don't need some TikTok preacher that I need to follow. I need to follow that. A wonderful counselor. Jesus isn't one who just gives good advice. It's divine wisdom. He's not one that just gives good advice. It's not just helpful. It was heaven sent. It's not just a smart counselor. No, it was supernatural. So why does this matter for our life? Well, because Isaiah is saying this counselor is not one that can be Googled. You can't put this in ChatGPT and get the answer that you need. This counselor cannot, the wisdom that this counselor gives cannot be learned. You can't just pick it up like a 1-2-3-step process. No, no, no. The direction that this counselor, this wonderful counselor gives is not something that can just be crowdsourced. You know, you can't go to a focus group and get the right answer. Why? Because it doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. That's why Jesus doesn't just give some good answers. He is the answer. This wonderful counselor isn't just someone who helps me think better. He's the one who helps me live wiser by giving me God's perspective. He helps change the way that I see things. And so the million-dollar question that I often get from most people is the question, well, how can I hear God speak? How does God speak? I'm trying to hear what God has to say. How will God speak to me? How can I hear Him? Well, let me tell you this. The primary way that God speaks is through His Word. That is the number one way that God speaks. So if you're finding yourself in a place where I just don't know what to do, the question I would ask you is, when was the last time you picked this up? When was the last time that you read through the scriptures and the words and the promises and the prophecies, the divine wisdom? Because the answers that you need, they're already right here. Well, I've been reading and I can't find it. Good. Keep reading, because the more that you intake, when your life starts going through hell, what is on the inside of you will begin to spill out of you. So you wonder why there are some people, when all hell is breaking loose in their life and everything seems to be chaotic, they can be smiling. Why? Because they know what the Word of God says, because He is the Prince of Peace. He gives a peace that is not of this world. And so they know that God is in control. They have a trust that is not something that you just say, well, I trust Him. No, He is my wonderful counselor. His Word is living. It's active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, the Bible says. It is powerful. It is rhema. It is as if God is speaking to you in this very present moment. It is alive. It never returns void. That is the promise that this Word of God, that He's given us. There's a lot of people that I'll talk to, and they'll get these revelations and things like that. And the number one question I will ask them is, where is it backed up in Scripture? This is where Joseph Smith got his revelation. I'm getting in it now. This is where, when someone says, well, I had a word from God, and it's something that contradicts the very thing that God already spoke. Can I tell you, He may have been visited by someone, but I don't believe it was an angel. It's probably a demon. Because if it can contradict this, then it's not God's Word. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying we are to hate on those people. We are to love them. We are to point them to the truth. Because here's the deal. If it's Jesus plus something else, it's not. It is heresy. Jesus plus nothing is everything. There's no need. You don't need to add anything else. This and nothing else. This is all we need. And the truth is, we don't filter God's Word through our experiences. We filter our experiences through the Word of God. Because some people say, well, my experience is this. I feel this. Great. What does God's word say? I don't care how you feel about it. I don't care what experience you had. If it ain't this right here, it ain't truth. Because I can feel a lot of things. I don't know if I'm schizophrenic sometimes. There's a lot of times I can feel a lot of things. Anybody else with me? You don't want to admit it because there might be a psychologist in the room right now. Because here's the thing, if you're not careful, you'll hear from God whatever your flesh wants you to hear. Well, I just feel great. Well, God told me that I'm supposed to divorce my husband because he smacks loud. You will be surprised at things that people tell me in that lobby right over there. Well, you know, the Lord told me, and I'm like, well, that wasn't the Lord. That was the devil, sweetheart. I don't know what you listening to. Kendrick Lamar, it ain't got good biblical advice. That's all I got to say. Well, God gave me peace to sleep with my boyfriend because we're going to get married anyway. Sweetheart, Linda, that ain't God. That's something else. You thinking with another part of your body, and that ain't your brain. God understands my sexual choices because it's how I feel. No, God never contradicts His word. And just because it feels natural doesn't mean that it's biblical. Because there's a lot of things that your body is going to feel that feels natural. It feels natural to drink a whole lot and get plastered drunk. It feels natural to do a lot of drugs so I can numb out. It feels natural to sleep with everybody because it makes my body feel good. But those things, although they may feel natural, they're not biblical. That's not what the Word of God says we are to live. And so when you want to hear the voice of God, you got to understand that it is primarily going to come through His Word. You see, hearing the voices of God is like, for me, it's like learning music. What do I mean? You see, I'm a musician. I was telling you earlier that we used to come to the church all the time. And normally, most pastors are not musicians. They don't know anything really about music. I do, which is a blessing and a curse for my brother. The blessing is I can tell them exactly something went right. I may not be able to sing well, and I can't play every instrument, but I will tell you when they're wrong. But there's a reason why. There's a reason why. I'm not saying because I'm a phenomenal musician. No, I understand the parts that go in every music and all the different intricacies and the little riffs that the piano can do, the percussion that has the little shaker and the tambourine and the timbales and the little different the different pieces that it will put together. I can tell you all the different sounds that are supposed to come from all the way from the upper toms and the floor toms and the different cymbals and the China cymbal that you can do that has a different distinguishing sound or a splash that comes in the middle of a song. I can tell you the bass runs and the riffs that they do and the different sounds that provides foundation and tone. I can tell you the guitars and that if they're not playing the rhythm just right, it gets everybody on their clap all wrong. I can tell you when a singer's flat or sharp. I can tell you when they're behind the beat and I'm trying to get them get on the beat. Here we go. Sometimes you got to reconnect back to your source. Let me tell you, somebody. I can tell you, though, when a singer's not on timing, I can do that. There's a reason why, and the key is my ears have gotten better at it because I've spent time in it. I listen to it often. I am a musician myself, so I try to work on the gifting, the craft that God has given me. And so I can sit there and I can tell you when the sounds are. I can tell you when I sound like I'm talking through a cone or if I'm actually feeling like there's body in my voice in the speaker system. I can tell you all that. Why? Because I've spent time in it. I know those intricacies because there has been hours and hours put in that when something starts to happen, I'm like, that's not right. I'll lean over at Pastor Ayers and I'm like, so-and-so needs to fix that. They need to turn that off. I don't like the way that sounds because they're not playing that right. The drummer was completely off. They didn't even hit the beat. It was supposed to go boom, boom, and they just went boom. It ain't right. The guitar missed its entire sound. Why? Because it messed up the melody. I can tell that the singers are not in their three-part harmony on that part. They're supposed to be there. The tenor was flat. Yeah, I can tell all that. And all the worship teams are like, dadgum, I didn't realize all that was happening. So I'm worshiping, but the whole time I'm worshiping, I'm listening. listening for the intricacy, and you see the same goes with hearing God's voice. The more time that you spend in His Word, and you spend in His presence, the more you recognize His voice. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10, He says, "My sheep recognize My voice." This is Jesus talking. He calls them by name and they follow Him. Why? Because they know His voice. You see, the more time that you will spend in the presence of God, that's why even earlier when I first stepped onto the platform and the worship was playing and it was just music, I just allowed silence. Sometimes I think we talk too much. I was telling our kids just the other day, I'm like, can y'all just be quiet? Y'all talking too much. I just need silence. And sometimes I think God is trying to say, I'm trying to talk to you, but you won't shut up. You're talking so much. You're telling me all this stuff and you won't even sit in My presence. That's why when I first walked up, I didn't say a word. Why? Because I'm like, God, I don't need to say anything. You need to say everything. And this needs to be quiet. There's no singers that need to say a word. God, You've already spoken. You're speaking now. We just need to sit and listen. And bask in Your presence and You'll speak. You'll say what you need to say. So not only is the wonderful counselor one who guides your steps. Number two, the wonderful counselor comforts your soul. He comforts your soul. You see, Isaiah chapter 66 verse 13 says, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." Something I've learned in life is that not all love feels the same, does it? Not all love feels the same. Like when, if your kids get hurt, dad's response is always a lot different than the mom's. Dad's like, rub some dirt on it. You'll be all right. Walk it off. Yeah. Yeah, ain't no bones showing. All right, you're good. We ain't got to go to the doctor. But somehow, moms show up with a medical bag that they didn't even own before they got to the place. All of a sudden, they're whipping out Spider-Man Band-Aids and popsicles. Why? Because popsicles help heal scraped knees and sore throats. And they just show up and their love is a different comfort. They look down and they sit down like, oh, baby, it's going to be okay. Mommy's here. Why does when a kid gets hurt, they go, mommy? Ain't none of them calling for dad most of the time. I've had kids get hurt even this week. And I walk over, I'm like, are you all right? They're like, I want mommy. They just push me out the way. They're like, yeah, because they know I'm be like, you're all right. You're all right. Go walk it off. You'll be all right in the morning. We'll see you later. Just go back to your room. There was even a part in scripture when the baby that was prophesied was out in the field with his dad and his head started hurting. He said, go back in and find your mom. There's a whole story about it anyway. We ain't got time to get into that. But love can feel different. And I will tell you that the comfort that a mom can show up and do and the way that she wants to care, I believe that God also comforts a lot like that. God can comfort like a father sometimes, because there are some times we're over here whining and complaining. And He's like, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. You're building some character. You're building some integrity. But there are some times when God is like what your mom can do. They show up with everything that is prepared that you didn't know that they had. That He has everything that you need before you even knew that you needed it. The Bible says that He is an ever-present help in a time of need. Meaning that God has everything that you need the moment you need it. See, when I was a young pastor, I remember the very first tragedy that I had to do. The very first funeral, the moment that I got assigned, hey, you're going to take that one. It was like getting thrown into a lion's den from my father. He was like, you got this, you'll be all right. I tell you that because the first tragedy as a pastor that I walked in with the family, the tragedy that I was walking into it like a 22, 23-year-old young man, young pastor trying to figure this all out, was There was a drunk driver who had hit a husband and a wife in the car. The wife was pregnant. She was only a few months out from having their baby, and it killed the father and it killed the baby, and the mother was left alone. And I had to walk into a grieving room, a space where honestly I was not wanted. I was not wanted specifically by the mother-in-law, them dang mother-in-laws. I'm just kidding. We love our mother-in-law. But I walked into, honest to God, she did not want me there. The reason why was because I was not a Spanish-speaking Catholic. I wasn't a Catholic priest. And to her, some young white boy walked in a room that don't speak Spanish, and she was like, I don't know why he's here. I'm honest to God, this is exactly how this happened. And I walked into the room. Before I walked in, I'm like, God, give me words to speak. Help me to say the right thing. What do you say? And I walked in, and I didn't say a word. I gave them a hug, and I just sat with them. No word could come out of my mouth. I didn't know what I could say. I'm like, what? Anything I say is stupid. Like, I don't know. I don't have anything. And I left, and when I left, I felt so embarrassed. I'm like, how stupid. You didn't say anything. You were supposed to be there for them, but when all was said and done, you know what happened? I got messages from that family saying, man, your presence meant everything. You didn't have to say anything, but just you being there. And I learned that in my own life when my mother passed. I didn't even need people to say something. I just needed them to be there. Just to know that there were people there to say, I'm with you, man. I'm crying with you. Why? Because presence is powerful. Presence is powerful. And God comforts us. He comforts his people through people. It can come through different avenues, different ways. God works in different wonders, but there are times when it can come through a verse. It can come through a worship song as we're singing glory to Jesus. It can come through a sermon like this. It can come through a friend's text that just came at the right moment. It can come through moments where your child just comes up and hugs you and doesn't say anything. Can come through a moment where you have a teammate or a person at church, a church family member, somebody you serve with, notices you need prayer without you even having to say a word. They sense it on you. Why? Because you've spent time with them and they know. You see, pain feels different when you're not alone. It feels different when you're not alone. And we try to face so many things alone, but here's the thing, our wonderful counselor, because of him, you're never alone. You're never alone. Hebrews 13 says that he will never leave you and never forsake you. Some of you know it. So we're understanding today that the wonderful counselor, he guides your steps, he comforts your soul. Number three, the wonderful counselor heals your heart. He heals your heart. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. As I look around this room today, you look church good today. Turn to your neighbor real quick, tell them, say, you look church good. Like you look church fresh, church good. Turn to your second best choice. They need to get some love too. Tell them, say, you look church good today. Church good. Why are you saying that? Because here's the thing. You can look church good, but that doesn't mean you're not hurting. You can come in here all dressed up, nipped up, tightened up, looking good, fresh, clean, got your Curve cologne on. Does anybody still wear Curve? Man. Some cool water for all my older seasoned people. Yeah, baby. What's that one? It was like something bod. Bod man. It's just bod. We ain't talking about that axe, because that's all them junior high boys in the locker rooms spraying all that stuff. But you can come in here looking church good, looking like everything's good in your life. We even post it. We put all the filters on. Everything looks great, but through that smile, there's a lot of pain. You can come into church and everything looks good, and you're here, and you're like, God, I'm just here. You're smiling, you're shaking people's hands, you give them a hug, and everything on the outside can look good, but deep down there is a wound. There's pain, there's brokenness, wounds of words that have been spoken over you that you still deal with every day. Wounds from something that someone did to you that you're still holding on to that nobody knows about. Wounds from something that you did that you wish you could take back. You wish I would have never done that. Wounds that you've never told a soul. You see, an earthly counselor can only help you heal what you reveal. The things that you talk about, the things that you express to them. But let me tell you, the wonderful counselor, he sees it all. He sees every wound. He sees every scar. He sees every broken fragment of your life and of your heart. And he knows the root behind the behavior. He knows why the wound is there. You see, anger often comes from a wound. Perfectionism often comes from a place of insecurity. Addiction often shows up because of a place of loneliness or trauma. And because our wonderful counselor sees the whole wound, that means he can heal the whole wound. Not just the things you reveal, but even the things you don't reveal to anyone, but only God knows, he can heal those wounds. How many thankful that we have a God who sees all and knows all and can heal every wound. You see, the more that you listen, the more you'll recognize that God's been speaking all along. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life where I'll get done with it. I'm like, God, where are you? You know, well, I can't hear you. And in hindsight, I look back and I'm like, man, I can see every pivoting point, every mark where God showed up and I didn't even know it. He was speaking the whole time and I didn't even recognize it. So there's times when that's going to happen. But the more that you listen, the more that you spend time in his presence, the more that you get into his word, the more you're going to recognize the shepherd's voice. Because as sheep, we are going to go astray. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have brokenness. But it's the times when you're listening that as the shepherd calls out. If you know shepherds, that there'll be somebody else that can come out. We used to have cattle when we were growing up. My grandparents, my grandma, she still has cattle. My brother told me one of them died the other day at Christmas. Just fell over and died. Just anyway. my ADD kicked in. Just, I don't know where I was going with this, but anyway. You can go out there, and I can go out there, and I can call at my grandparents. I can call the cattle. I can go woo-wee. That's little sounds that we'll do. You know, we're calling them. We used to say suey, even though we didn't have pigs. We just called the cows, and I don't know why, but that's just what my dad used to say. But I can go out there to my grandparents, and I can call, and nothing comes up. Not a single cow, not a calf, not a heifer, not a steer. None of them are going to show up. Why? Because they don't know my voice. I'm a stranger to them. But the moment that one of them that works with them, we have a ranch hand. His name is Miguel. He works every day. He's been with my grandparents for decades and decades. He can walk out there and just go like, hey! All of a sudden, the stampede starts coming. Why? Because they know his voice. They know who feeds them. They know who gives them water. They know who tends to them when they need it. Why? They know their voice. When you know the voice of your shepherd, you know when he's calling. When the enemy starts to shout at you, you go, nope, that's not him. When the words come out to you that people try to speak over, you go, no, that's not him. But when the shepherd speaks, the great shepherd, Jesus, sheep know his voice. So our wonderful counselor, he guides your steps, he comforts your soul, he heals your heart. So when the world tells you, follow your feelings, you know what you got to say? No, I'm going to follow the word of God. When the world shouts at you, Do what seems right. Do what makes you happy. Do what makes you feel good. You can say, nope, I'm going to do what the wonderful counselor tells me to do. Why? Because he's a supernatural miracle working strategist that doesn't just give good advice and just doesn't give me just an answer. He is the answer. Because 700 years before Jesus was born, God promised exactly what you and I needed. A wonderful counselor. Here's what I want to say today. I want you all to stand across this room. If you're carrying something heavy today, if you need direction, if you need comfort, if you need healing, then I want you to lift your hands today. Just lift your hands to heaven. And allow God to do what only He can do. Just lift your hands. It's an act of surrender to Jesus. Father, I thank you for every single person under the sound of my voice that has lifted hands. Whether in this room physically or on the other side of a screen. God, you see the burden. You see the weight that feels so heavy that they can't bear it. You see the brokenness. You see the healing that is needed. You see the direction that they need given. You see the comfort that their soul desperately needs. The refreshing, the replenishing, the restoration. So God, I pray right now, wonderful counselor, Pele Yoetz, the supernatural, miraculous, extraordinary, God working, miracle working God, the advisor that is better than just some good advice, I pray that you would speak to your people. That your words would be felt in the depths of their soul. That if they're feeling distracted today, if they're feeling like they're just white noise, God, that you would eliminate the noise so they could hear your voice. To be reminded that you've never left them, never forsaken. That your word says that you are close to the brokenhearted. That you save those who are crushed in spirit. That you bind up our wounds, and you give healing to those who are broken. God, we need your presence. And God, no matter what we're facing today, God, we thank you that you're always on time. At every moment, at every hour, you are always on time. I know, Lord, that there are times when I think you should be here already, but God, you know the right time. You know the exact moment that I'm needing what I need. And God, just like you gave a prophecy 700 years before Jesus ever showed up, I thank you, Lord, that you are speaking today to things that may be coming in due season. But God, help us to trust you while we're waiting, because God, you're always on time. You show up right when we need you. You show up at the right time, in the right moment, in the divine intervention, because you know every step we need to take. You know every moment and every breath. And God, we want your presence. We need your presence. We ask, Lord, that you would speak today. Speak in this moment. Here's what I want to do right now. I want us just to, when service isn't over just yet, here's what I want us to do. Our worship team is just going to sing this song, how God is always on time. How many thankful that we serve an on-time God? He's always on time. What I want you to do in this atmosphere is I want you just to allow this song, this worship song, to minister to you, to remind you that God is always on time. He is an ever-present help in a time of need. So as we sing, I want you just to say, Lord, speak. Speak to me. Heal my heart. Comfort my soul. Guide my steps. this moment to minister to you. Allow God to speak to you.
Always,
some of you need to remind your faith that
always, never been, it's never been, never been.
Like the people in Isaiah's time, that they were believing in God, but they didn't really know Him. They knew God existed, but they didn't serve Him like He was Lord. You see, Jesus came to show you the love of the Father, that God would send His one and only Son to be the ransom humanity, to pay your debt and mine. You know, we like to believe that it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious people that put Jesus on that cross, but you know what really put Him on that cross? Your sin and mine. your sin and mine. And he put and allowed nails to be pierced into his hands and into his feet. He allowed the 39 lashes, the legal limit, the cat of nine tails that was flesh ripping, gruesome, the beating, the torture, crown of thorns, the mockery. He allowed all that to take place. Why? To show you the love of a father. To say, I'm going to rebuild the bridge back to me because I want relationship with my people. So here's my question today. Every eye closed across this room. If you want to know him, I'm talking truly know him, not know of him, but if you want to know him today, if you want his forgiveness, a forgiveness that you can't find from anybody that is anywhere near human, but a forgiveness that you can't earn, a forgiveness that is freely given, a grace that can be given to you. If you want a new life, then today is your day. This is your moment. And I want you to pray this prayer with me today, a prayer that is a confession to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. To forgive me of my sin. Jesus, I'm going to make you Lord. We're going to pray this together all across this room today. Say this out loud. Say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Help me to live a new life in you. God, I receive you as Lord and leader of my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to be the ransom for my sin. And I pray today that you would forgive me, wash me clean, make me new. You are my Lord, and I choose today to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said a big amen. 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 Hey, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, why don't you do this for me? I want to give you a Bible. I want to help you. I want to help you with some next steps, or maybe you rededicated your life today. Would you do this? Would you take a big faith step today and just lift your hand on the count of three and say, that was me. Ready? One, two, three. Come on, lift your hand today. Come on, church, let's celebrate these people. Come on. Come on, church, let's celebrate these people. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Our team is trying to move around the room. Nobody moving around other than our team just yet. Come on, how many thankful for a God that will never leave you, never forsake you? There may be people that might walk out on you, but God will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. He is our wonderful counselor. How many thankful for the wonderful counselor today? Pele Yoetz. Say that out loud. Say Pele Yoetz. Wonderful counselor has a new meaning to it, I hope. I hope you walk out of here knowing that he guides your steps, comforts your soul, and he heals your heart. Father, I thank you for your church today. I thank you for all that you're doing. I pray blessings over your people. Help them, Lord, as they walk through this week to be a representation of you and to bring someone back here next weekend so they can experience the same hope in life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said a big amen. Amen. God bless you, church. We love you. Have a wonderful weekend.